Hello, everybody. How are you guys doing? Good to see you guys. Welcome to this webinar. We just wanted to have this quick one with you guys and see how we can help. Like most of you know, I and my wife, we're passionate about marriages. We're passionate about helping people build good marriages because we know the power in family. There's so much power in the family. And our vision is that we understand that two imperfect people can actually have a perfect marriage by the help of God, all right? And a perfect marriage is not a marriage without issues. A perfect marriage is a marriage with perfect commitment, all right? That's what makes it perfect. It's not, it doesn't mean you never need to deal with issues. So we're passionate about that, and more and more people are struggling in the family life. And we feel we can help. We can make it better and better and better. And that's why we are here today. Very great.
Hi, everybody.
We're going to keep this short because church has started physically now, so tomorrow is church. So we're going to run through this very fast, okay? And webinars like this, coaching like this, counseling like this, people generally don't value it until they run into trouble. You know, it's like a lawyer and some other thing. You don't see the need. Insurance, you don't see the need until you're in trouble. You now know that there are people that this is what they will do, you know, they're like waiting, you know. So if I get $1 for every time somebody told me, I wish I had met you earlier, I would probably be a millionaire today. So this is you meeting us early. So let's do this. All right. So today we're talking about rebuilding trust. Before we start, I would like to know where everybody's logged in from. Can you tell me your city? Tell me where you are logging in from. Can you tell me your city so that I'll just acknowledge you? Tell me your city. Jesus, am I seeing anybody's city? Tell me your city, guys.
Kaduna.
Okay, somebody's from Kaduna. Welcome. Ogun State.
New Jersey.
Enugu, yeah.
Jersey again.
Under New Jersey.
Kampala, Uganda.
My East African brothers.
Cameroon. Enugu again.
Enugu, I see you.
Lagos mainland, Nigeria.
Akwa Ibom.
River State.
Lekki State.
Bayelsa State. Another Enugu.
Today Enugu guys, you guys are all out for me today. All right.
Hey, Lagos.
South Africa. Is that Joburg or Cape Town or where? All right. So, hey, welcome from wherever you are logged in from. We just wanted to appreciate you and welcome you. So we'll go dive right into it. I used to say this at the beginning that we're talking about rebuilding trust. And the reason why this is important is because trust is very vital in a relationship. As a matter of fact, if you don't have trust, you really don't have anything. If you don't have trust in a relationship, you actually do not have a relationship. So trust is so vital. And it seems we live in a time where people don't know the value of trust. You know, without trust, you really don't have a relationship. You know, even God, do you notice that God doesn't have any normal relationships? The kind of relationships he has, all of them are covenant relationships. That means they are built on some level of trust and commitment. You know, so if you don't have trust, you don't have anything. And that's what makes trust very important. I remember many years ago, I heard somebody teaching, and he said, trust is not important in a relationship. Actually, I had somebody taught that, you know, somebody actually taught that in a large seminar. You know, and people were even clapping that trust is not needed in a relationship, that is not even biblical to trust in a relationship. He quoted the scripture in Jeremiah 17, verse 5, that says, "Woe is he that trusted in man." You know, and it said, even God doesn't expect us to trust other men. that is very erroneous. That is very wrong. Trust is vital. The kind of trust used in that particular piece of scripture, that was Jeremiah 17:5. It says, "Woe is he, or cursed is he, that trusts in man." What they meant there was that, you know, but there's a trust we have for God, and there's a trust we have for other humans. What God was trying to say there is that you can't put that trust that is supposed to be for God on a human being. That human beings have the ability to fail, so you can't put that trust on them. So when it comes to the whole outcome of your life, you can't, a human being can't determine that for you. A human being can't determine that everything's going to work out in your life. He can't. No human being can do that. That's the sole preserve of God. All right. So that was the kind of trust they were talking about. All right. That's not trust between two people. All right. So that's what they meant there. Now, the way to understand scripture is to allow scripture interpret scripture. So if you look at scriptures like the, Proverbs 31 verse 11, you know, they were talking about relationship between a man and a woman. The earlier scripture in Jeremiah 17 was not referring to man and man. It was referring to man and God. But this Proverbs 31:11, talking about the Proverbs 31 woman, the virtuous woman, it says, "Her husband's heart doeth safely trust in her." Her husband's heart doeth safely trust in her. So that is, you know, man and woman, love, marriage. And it says, "His heart doeth safely trust in her, that she would do him good all the days of his life." You know, and trust me, there's nothing like having that kind of relationship built on trust. In Proverbs 13 also talks about how a faithful ambassador is held, you know, and a wicked man can be a trouble for you. So we all, in fact, as human beings, we still trust other people. And can you imagine a life where there's no trust at all? Imagine that. If you go to work, you don't trust the school your kids are in. You don't trust who is with them. Imagine how anxious you will be. Imagine if you don't trust the bank that has all your money. Can you imagine how anxious you will be? You don't trust the plane you enter. As even the pilot tells you, "I have no clue where this plane has been and whether the engine is even alive." You know, imagine if you live everyday life without trust. The only reason why we are sane is that we still trust. We trust the cars we enter. We trust the building we are in, that it will not collapse, even though we're not there when they built it. You know, we trust the plane that we enter travel. We trust the school that we put our kids. So God is not saying you can't trust people. He's just saying that the trust that is attributed to him or ascribed to him is not the same you give to men. All right. But in a relationship, in a marriage, the same way you'll be anxious if you don't trust the bank that has all your money. That's how it is when two people are married or in a relationship and there is no trust. It's so much anxiety. It's horrible. It's horrible. God designed, you know, this whole marriage thing to be, you know, with trust. God designed the whole relationship structure. What makes relationship and marriage solid is, you know, we have two people that can totally depend on each other, trust each other. I mean, that is what God designed, and that is how it's meant to be. All right, very important. So, that is trust. So, what is trust? Let's look at that a bit. So, what is trust? What does trust mean? In dictionary definition, let me read just general dictionary definition to you. Dictionary definition says, a firm belief in the reliability, truth, or ability of someone or something. All right? It says, firm belief in the reliability, truth, or ability of someone or something. That's pretty much what it's saying. It just simply say it means being sure of someone's thoughts and actions towards you. You're just sure that this person has your back. You're sure of how this person feels towards you. You're sure of that feeling of good. You're sure of that feeling of love. You're sure of that commitment, that love, that support. I mean, and see, God knew that we need two vital relationships, relationship with him and relationship with another human being. You know, remember after he made Adam for a relationship, so he had a relationship with Adam. The second thing God himself said is that it's not good for human beings to be alone. that they also need partnership. They also need to relate. So when they ask us the greatest commandment, says you love the Lord your God. Then secondly, you love your neighbors yourself. So we need those two relationships. They can't replace themselves. So one of the greatest blessings of marriage is that you have a partner you can spend life with. You have a partner you can spend life with. And it's so amazing. It just makes life make meaning, in, you know, that you have somebody you can totally rely on. That worst case scenario, push comes to shore, everybody abandons me, there's one person that has pledged that they'll be for me. They will never leave me, nor forsake me, you know. I mean, I'm glad to have this fine girl here as my own partner. Yeah. I'm telling you, the more reliable your partner is, the better for you. There's so much peace, you know, there's so much joy, you know, that you can face by having that. Okay, so trust is basically being sure of somebody's thoughts or actions towards you, their capacity, their reliability, you know, their heart towards you. You just know that this person wishes you well. And I've seen people that don't have trust in their relationship. It's so sad. They live in such anxiety, such in a broken state, such panic, because they are actually married to somebody that they cannot trust. I mean, that just negates the whole concept of a relationship. That just breaks the whole thing out, because the idea of a marriage or of a relationship is two people that are in, you know, serious partnership and can trust each other. They have each other's, you know, back. Okay. And it's the only way to live, it's the only way to do things, you know, to have, you know, I see my group, you know, abroad, it's common abroad for people to sign prenups, you know, before they get married. That means saying all our things remain, you know, separate no matter what happens. You know, it's just amazing. It's just amazing. It just shows people are trying to circumvent the design of marriage. You know, from the time you're already signing such a thing, you're saying, look, we don't trust each other, but we want to start marriage. So you can give your life. You can commit your life to someone, but you're keeping your money safe. It's the funniest thing I've ever seen. So your money should be in the safe, but you're giving your life to someone. So in other words, your money is more valuable, you know, than your life. You know, when they rob those, they say your money or your life, you know. If you die, you still don't have your money, you know, because giving yourself to somebody means you are at their mercy. They can poison you. They can cover you with a pillow at night when you're sleeping. They can literally kill you. So you trust that your life is not that important to you. You trust the person, but your money is what you are keeping, you know, safe. I remember the story of one woman that was having a bath and she ran out of the bathroom with soap on her body, everything, you know. She had not finished taking her bath, just ran out with all. And everybody shouted, "What happened? What happened?" She said she left her wardrobe open and her husband is in the room. She came to protect her money, but she's living with a man she cannot trust. Amazing. So the design is that I should trust with everything I have, you know, and all that. So today we're talking about rebuilding trust. In case your marriage or relationship has gone through something that has kind of cracked the, you know, the trust, how do we rebuild it, or how do we begin to rebuild it? And breaking trust doesn't only have to do, you know, it has to do with big things, even right to small things. They all can break trust. When I mean big things, I mean it can be something like infidelity. It can be something like one partner cheating on the other. You know, it can be something like that. Then it can move down from that to emotional cheating. That means maybe the cheating never happened physically, but it happened emotionally. There were text messages or WhatsApp messages or whatever going on, flirting going on. Or it moves down to just telling lies. You know, telling lies. That's breaking trust. Or it moves to, you know, things like maybe not spending money right, you know, being financially, you know, indisciplined, irresponsible, you know, it can telling like it can it, so any of those things can break trust. Okay, any of those things can break trust. So you need to ask yourself, you know, is there broken trust in our relationship or in our marriage? Is there broken trust? And as we're sharing today, please be mindful, if you're married, you know, there are slight differences from person that is just in a relationship. In a relationship, it means you can always jump the ship, you can bail out, you can say, I'm not doing this again. If you're married, it might not be so easy to make that decision. So you need to go, you know, factor that in as we're sharing. So those are a few things. So I don't know if you want to say something, so I'll continue.
I guess you pretty much said most of it. That trust is essential in marriage. I don't think you can do marriage without trust. I think it was Reverend Femi Ahed say many years ago that trust is the fuel that marriage rides on. So if you don't have, you can have a car, but if you don't have trust, then you get nowhere. So trust is essential. And a lot of people, I found out that a lot of people start out, you know, trusting each other, but little things along the way can affect and destroy that trust. And usually it's one person making that choice that totally destroys the trust between both parties. And one of the worst things that can happen to anyone is to put the entire trust in someone, and then that trust is broken. Because trust is not something that is easy to rebuild. You know, it takes a lifetime, pretty much, to try to get
things fragile.
Try to get things back to the way they were. So if you have, for instance, something that is fragile and it gets broken, sometimes it doesn't even, trust doesn't break pleasantly. Trust shatters. So you, even if you can put them together, there's still some pieces that you may never be able to find. And that's pretty much what trust is. So if trust is broken, it can be hard to get it back to the way it was.
Yeah. And sometimes the person that is breaking the trust doesn't fully capture or understand how much it affects the betrayed partner. You know, most times the person betraying, you know, doesn't know how painful it is for the betrayed. So you need to understand, if you are here today and you're the one that broke the trust, you need to understand that what you have done is serious. You have literally broken the other person's world because they've put their whole world on you. What you're causing them is literally trauma, you know, and it's going to take them time to recover from it. You need to see the seriousness of what you're doing. Because what I discovered is a lot of people that break trust just want to say, oh, come on, just one time, you know, I didn't mean it. You know, they have different ways to try to be defensive. You need to realize that what you have done is that you have literally broken this person's world. What you have done is very serious. And if you don't see it as such, you know, we can't even help to rebuild this trust. You know, we can't help to rebuild this trust. I need to tell the betrayed partner too, is that catching your partner in a lie or in infidelity or irresponsibility doesn't mean that they are ready to change. All right, being caught doesn't mean, you know, ready for change. Being caught doesn't naturally equate repentance, because in our job, counseling people and doing infidelity recovery, we discover some people are not ready to change. Yes, they've been caught. They are sorry that they are caught, but they are not sorry that they did it. You know, so you need to know the difference and know what you're up against. You need to know the difference and know what you're up against. Some people being caught, because I know some people do FBI. Try to hack their partner's bank account or hack their phone number or do things like that, thinking that if I catch him, that means, or catch her, you know, by the way, that means it's going to change or she's going to change. I need to tell you right now, being caught doesn't mean the person's ready to repent or ready to change. They might be sorry for being caught. They might not be sorry for doing what they did. So it's quite a big deal. The soul of man, the heart of man is very wicked. You know, like the Bible says, it's who can know it? It's deep. So being caught doesn't mean you're ready to change. And for the person that, so we're going to talk a bit about, you know, how to start to rebuild the trust. I need to tell the both people to know this. There's a reason why people do what they do. For every action you see, there's a reason behind it. And if you're going to help somebody, you need to find the reason. If somebody is financially responsible, there's a reason. And we can't help the person until we get to that reason. In case you are here, we have counselors that can do infidelity recovery for you, because it's a process, all right? Forgiveness is instant, but trust, rebuilding trust requires a process. It's not going to happen immediately. So what most people do when there's infidelity in their marriage relationship, just say, oh, I'm sorry, let's move on. It doesn't work like that. There's a whole process to it. And in case you are here watching and you need something like that, please reach us after. We'll get a counselor to walk through the process with you.
Can I say something? So I don't know if the exact term you're going to say is forgiveness. I'm not sure. I think the decision to forgive is instant, but forgiveness is an entirely different process.
Yes.
Yep. So forgiveness and rebuilding trust, I think, is the process. So the decision to forgive can be instant, but the forgiveness proper, I don't think.
Yeah, but you see, as Christians, we can forgive by faith, you know? It's not that you won't feel the pain. Nobody can, you really don't have a right to hold somebody's sin against them. That's the truth. And that's what God expects. You know, God forgives us the moment we ask. You know, so he also expects us to forgive the moment the person, in fact, even if the person doesn't even ask, the person forgive. But why people think they've not forgiven is because they're still in pain. You know, because they assume that, you know, the pain will go, you know, but like you said, the pain and the whole process of rebuilding the trust, you know, might take time. But as a Christian, you have to forgive. You won't feel like forgiving. So don't confuse the two. I think that's where people get it. You won't feel like forgiving. But you have to forgive because we can't even start the whole process of healing if you don't, you know, forgive. So it will be painful. Yes, you need to. For some people, forgiveness is also difficult because of the level of trust that was betrayed. So for some people, it's not even instant. It's gonna be a tug of war. but the rebuilding trust is will take longer basically than the act of forgiveness. I think that's what we're trying to say. All right. So like I said, there's a reason why people act the way they do. And we need to find why. If we're going to start to help them, if we're going to start helping them, we need to find the why. If somebody's financially responsible, why are they like that? You know, is it that they are obsessed with what people think? You know, they're obsessed with image, or they have a family background that, you know, is feeding that lifestyle? Was it the way they were brought up? You know, things like that. You know, somebody that lies. On this job, I've seen pathological liars. Oh, wow. I've seen some liars. Even me, I said, no. I wanted to like this. I said, no. You are a liar. You know, they say Satan is the father of all lies, but I've seen some bad guys and girls, you know, in the course of this job. So if somebody's particularly like, there's a reason why. You know, there's a reason why. It might be their self-esteem, it might be shame, it might be whatever. The point is that we need to always be able to find why. Just because somebody's caught doesn't mean they're ready to repent. Okay. So trust is very fragile, like we've stated. Somebody said you build trust in drops, but you lose it in gallons. It's so fragile. You know, you build it in drops. It takes long and consistency to build it, but you can lose it in one day. So you have to think twice, you know, before you do anything. You know, if you think, oh, I won't be caught, it won't matter. When you break that trust, trust me, you will regret it, because you literally have broken your relationship. You literally have broken down the other person. So it is a big deal. I'm just trying to help you sound it to know that it is a big deal. Okay, so how do we review trust? Like I said, my plan is to see if we can finish all this thing in 1 hour. So we'll take some questions too and all that. So how do we rebuild trust? Number one is truth. I talked about this a bit in the video, YouTube video we did. Number one is truth. In James chapter 5, verse 16, the book of James chapter 5 and verse 16, the Bible says there that confess your faults one to another and pray for one another, so that you will be healed. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another so that you be healed. So that's James 5:16. So the process of healing starts with truth. Starts with truth. I mean, for both parties, the betraying party and the betrayed party both need healing. All right, both we need healing. Because you that you are the betraying party, you that is breaking trust, there's something going on with you. There's a reason why you are breaking trust. For me as a pastor, it was a great shocker. You know, I came into ministry very naive, you know, just loved the Lord. I just thought everybody was, you know, going to be the same. I didn't know then the impact of people's upbringing. I didn't know that a lot of people grew up in homes where they never had a family. Even some that had a family, it was a war situation. Maybe it was polygamous home, or they didn't have love. So they are used to fighting. There are people that the whole image of sibling they have is war. So when they come to church and say, this is your brother in Christ, they're saying, whoa, this is my enemy in Christ. That was a bullet. Some people have never been loyal to anything in their life. I can never forget. You know, my immediate elder brother, amazing. You know, when we used to go and play football, you know, you know, we're the weakest team most times. So we go and they beat us black and blue. You know those guys that live in rugged areas, when they play football, they will beat us black and blue. My brother was always by the bench, supporting and advising. but
was the coach.
It was like a coach, you know. But it wasn't the main coach, but it was always like in that capacity helping. But when they have beaten us, it would change and go and join the other people. We say it's bad. We're not getting it right. We're going to join that party. So I'm just saying, some people have never been committed to anything in their lives. They are always, you know, escapists. They've never had a family life. Some people have never had a father that was there for them. The only idea of father they had was somebody that was wicked, harsh, somebody that abandoned them, somebody that betrayed them. So when they come to church and they say, oh, this is our father and the Lord, woo, they're never going to be committed. They've never had that all their life. So I didn't know the impact of people's upbringing. I didn't know that. So when you see some people start manifesting certain behaviors, some people have never had to say the truth. They've never been committed to something. They've never learned how to love people they don't know. There are many things they've not been taught. You know, so coming out with the truth, you know, is that for you that you are betraying, there's a reason why you are betraying. And we can't even start to, you know, talk about your own healing without the truth. And for the person that was betrayed also, you know, there's a reason, you know, the person also needs truth, you know, to begin to heal. My wife will talk a bit more from the to the betrayed people, you know, what you can do. But I'm going to speak more for the betraying.
The infidel.
It's not infidel. Everything is. It's not only infidel. It's not only infidelity, rather.
If I save money with you and you gamble it away, you are worse than an infidel. So it's better you settle for infidel.
Oh,
because the next name I will come up with is worse than an infidel.
Oh my God.
So
remember, please, that when it comes to breaking trust, it's not only infidelity. Just so you know, lying, misappropriation of funds financially. Cheating the other partner, even
bullying,
or setting your partner up for to
family,
be hit.
Yeah.
Yes, your family.
Family.
Yes, mm-hmm. your in-laws are coming. Your families are trying to blame somebody. You're protecting your partner. They will feel betrayed too.
Yeah.
You just let them go. Say, I'm going to ask her. Is my wife? You know, even if she's the one, you don't go and say that like that to your in-laws. So things like that. It can be a wide variety of things. But once trust is broken, you must consciously rebuild it. Don't just think, oh, it's going to rebuild. I've seen many couples, you know, just cover something up, and many years after, it still manifests. There are people that have resentment. They're in the marriage for 20 years. They are waiting that when I have the chance, I'm going to deal with you back, because they've never processed what they've been through. So what we're trying to say is this is important. Okay. So truth is the first step. You must come out with the truth. What happened? You know, how did you spend this money? Don't tell us, oh, just forgive me, I won't do it again. No, we need to know how you spend this money. What were you thinking? Why did you even spend the money? Why did you spend it? Why did you lie? You know, why did you send that flirtatious chat? What was going through your mind? What was happening? We need to get to that. If we don't get to that, we can't bring healing. So we need to get to that. Truth, all right, is very important. It's the beginning of this journey. What is the truth? Most times, the cheating partner, you see, the thing about infidelity most times is that, apart from the, you know, infidelity never works alone. Infidelity is never a sexual thing. It's a combination of things. There must be lying, cheating, deceiving. Many things has to go into it to make it successful. So most times, the cheating partner is trying to cover up a lot of things. So they tend to lie and lie and lie. They use one lie to cover another lie, to cover another lie. It's just terrible. It's just bad. We can't start talking about healing. A lot of times when I handle couples, I try to get them to say the truth. And it's tough, because the shame is there, the guilt is there. And the lack of repentance too is there. Like I said, we can't make you change. You must be ready to repent. Just being caught is not enough. I've seen people caught red-handed and they're ready to change, because nobody can help you until you're ready to change. So truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. You know, that's how they say it. You know, promise to say the truth, the whole truth. I mean, I can say it.
The truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Okay. So help me God. So that's exactly how you need to do it. Come out with the truth, all right? Don't try to manage your partner by covering the story. You see, when you cover the story, sin thrives in secrecy. Once you cover the story, there are aspects of that thing still alive. That's what it means. But when you bring it to the light, you know, it literally dies. That's how sin is. Once you bring it to the light, you know, it might look like, oh, it's going to be so, but trust me, it begins to die from that day. But any part of it you cover actually lives on. You know, there's something about confessing that helps us get healed. There's something about confessing that helps you get healed. Okay? So if you really want to change, you must say, oh, look, I have an issue with infidelity. I have an issue with being faithful. I have an issue with promiscuity. This is what I'm going through. The moment you can say it, trust me, you're in the process of getting here. So number one, truth. Number two, transparency. Transparency. So remember, like you said, forgiveness might be immediate. It's not often immediate, but it might be immediate. But the trust will take a time and a process to rebuild. So you need transparency. If you break somebody's trust, you can't just tell the person, trust me now. I start trusting me. It doesn't happen like that. It's a whole process of this on its own. So transparency is important. If you want somebody to trust you again, you want to rebuild trust, you have to be consciously transparent, especially in the area where you broke the trust. So if it was financial, for instance, you took your whole salary and went to gamble with it, took your whole salary and did something with it, or whatever it was. From now on, you say, look, I'm going to be submitting my salary to you and we'll plan it together. Or I'm going to allow you have access to my bank account or alerts, or you know, I'm going to allow you have access to my phone. If your phone has been the root of committing the sin, that's where you call the person you're not supposed to call or chat with the person you're not supposed to chat, then you have to make your phone accessible. I see couples every day argue about, you can't check my phone, you can't check my phone. I'm wondering, how on earth are these people even married? Who counseled these people? They don't understand what marriage is. The Bible said they were both naked and they were not ashamed. Genesis chapter 2 said they were both naked and they were not ashamed. What did they mean by that? They were saying they both had nothing to hide. The whole concept of marriage or relation, or marriage actually, is that two of you are in a covenant, both of you are one. There's no my phone, it's our phone. All right, so there has to be 100% transparency. If your phone was how the cheating happened in the first place, then you have to give your wife or your husband access to your phone. In fact, we actually encourage couples to clone their phones. That way you can see the text, not that they're hiding the cover. Or because people are experts at deleting, they delete. You know, some people even have, you know, they have many ways they try to cover the thing. But you see, you are also trying to get help. If you want to break trust, you can find a way to do it. But we are today, we're trying to help talk to people that are trying to rebuild it. Transparency is key. If you are truly sorry, if you truly want to change, number one is truth. Number two, transparency. You can't be hiding your phone. You can't be. Clone it. We encourage couples to do that. We've been doing that for a while in our own home since. My wife receives all my chats, all my emails, everything, my alerts. In fact, she's the main signature of our family. The alert on our account goes to her phone. I don't even receive it. She's the one that tells me that somebody paid him money to account or whatever. I don't even receive the alert. You know, the reason is because I'm the spender. She's the saver. Whereas whoever is better with finances should be the monitor of the other person, okay? You know, so transparency. Work on it. If you call me, my wife also hears the full phone call. It's recorded on her phone. So you can't tell me rubbish, really. Well, you're telling all of us. So transparency is crucial. Number three, then you need to do these things consistently. Time is the third one. So truth, transparency, you know, time. It will take time. You need to do these things consciously for a while for the trust to be rebuilt, all right? Like they say, time heals all things. It's true when you're doing the right thing, not just that you're doing nothing. When you're doing the right thing, it takes time. It's like when somebody has a cut, it's not going to just heal that day because you put medicine that day. It's going to take a while. Keep treating that wound eventually to heal. So give it time. Be consistent. Don't be weary and say, oh, yeah, after all these years, you're not forgiving me. No, for many people, you know, getting over things is not as easy, especially depending on their personality type, then their gender. Men are generally forward-minded. Women are very past-minded. So a woman needs to go to the past first, she can go forward. But a man just wants to go forward. So if you're the one that offended, be willing to appease your partner. All right, be willing to appease your partner. Let them grieve. Let them process the pain. Don't say cover it. No, or forget it. Now just I've told you sorry. No, it doesn't work like that. You can't be that impatient. It requires time. It requires time. All right. Then the last one, final, my wife talking bit is truth. So number one, truth. Number two, transparency. Number three, time. Fourth one, truth. Truth is basically a pledge, a commitment. You know, for people to stop fighting or to stop, but in this case, it's a commitment to do the right thing. When there have been trust has been broken, at that time, sometimes you might not be enough to make a pledge anymore. You might need somebody else to stand for you. So I usually advise, when a serious level of trust has been broken in a relationship, I advise a counselor, a pastor, a parent, somebody both of you respect and trust to be involved in the matter, and to also be like a witness. So when you're making new pledges and saying, hey, okay, I did this in the past and I promise it won't happen again, let there be other people too that can vouch for you and stand for you and monitor to make sure you keep your part of that promise. So you make a pledge. If it's financial, you can say, okay, I'm never going to do this thing again. I'm never going to, you know, from now we'll have a joint account. So whatever money comes in, two of us must sign. You know, or you hold the tokens, you hold the transfers. I need to go through you to spend any money. You see, you're actually making restitution. You're actually putting some practical steps in place that will give comfort to the other person. Very important. So if it was money, you say, okay, from now on, you hold my token. You have the password, or you have whatever. I can't spend until I can convince you that I need this thing needs to be done. So you're showing, that's you, you know, going out of your way to show trust. If it's a infidelity case, you must make that pledge. You will never contact these people anymore. So you make those pledges to that person, and you make sure that you never contact the people anymore. You know, if it's lying, you make sure you don't lie again till Jesus comes. You know, so you make that commitment and you take practical actions to show that you're actually putting in place. That will help your partner to heal. All right, that will help your partner to heal. But you need to see how important it is and how serious it is to rebuild the trust, because without trust, you don't have anything in your relationship. All right, so that's it.
Okay, so that's coming from the angle of the person who caused the pain. Now, the person who was offended, or the betrayed partner, the first step I would say would be for you to be willing to openly talk about it, okay? And be ready to ask all the questions you want to ask. And of course, the other party must be willing to answer those questions. You know, if it's, for instance, if it's infidelity, let's use infidelity. Maybe because I'm an infidelity recovery coach, so I probably would use that example more. But I mean, it works for any other thing, putting you in front of family, financial impropriety, financial grooming. Whatever it is, you know, these things will work the same way. So I think the first thing would be to properly talk about it, you know, have a conversation about it, bring up the things, how you feel, find out what happened. Because like Pastor K said, we need to know what happened, why it happened before it can actually be dealt with. So ask questions, find out the, for instance, it was an affair, find out whether it was an emotional affair, was it a sexual affair, find out why it happened, how long has it happened, find out the extent of the lies that were told to conceal it, you know. You must be willing to talk about it. Don't suppress, don't say, I'll just move past it. You don't just move past it. What happens is that you suppress, and it turns out becoming devastating on your health. So you start dealing with high blood pressure, you start dealing with tumors, different things, you know. Find out if there's, for instance, find out if there's any risk of STD, or if there's a child outside, you know, things like that. Just basically talk about it. However, you will face the temptation now. I'm just talking if there's, you face the temptation of asking questions that the answers may not necessarily be good for you. So the issue is know what you can handle.
Yeah.
Some things would cause you unnecessary pain. Mm. I don't think you need to know that. So you don't possibly need to know all the details.
Mm.
So your husband had an affair with somebody. You don't have to know how many sexual positions did you do? Where did you do it? What did you, I mean, if you can't handle it, then there's no point.
Yeah,
if you're asking to know, or maybe to confirm whether you had a hand in it, maybe sex with your husband is bad, are you trying to make, that's different. But asking those painful questions, focusing on the problem, rather than, you know, the healing problem. But it's important that you talk about it. It's very important that you put everything out there and talk about it. Also be ready to face your feelings. You know, if you feel suddenly betrayed when your husband chooses his family over you, when he constantly his sister or his mother, or he just steps out of the way, you know, you get such a suffer, I don't feel this, you know, you feel this man is a coward. You need to find a way to have those conversations, face your feelings, ask yourself, why am I feeling this way? Another thing that you may need to do is make the decision to forgive. if I've not made to do that. You will have to face the fact that if you're going to stay in this marriage, you're going to have to make certain decisions. If you're going to stay there and say you want to forgive, it means that you're going to, and rebuilding trust, it means that you're going to get back to the way things were. And is it a price you're willing to pay? Is it a journey you're willing to go? Because it's a step by step. So I think that's one of the reasons why I was saying to Pascal that, you know, I know forgiveness, we have to forgive. And those who know me know that forgiveness is the one thing that the Lord is helping me with. So generally pay attention when people are talking about forgiveness, because I want to learn and I want to find a way out that the shortcuts with dealing with relationships generally. But I think that one of the things I've learned in counseling people in infidelity recovery, especially, or any betrayal situation, is the fact that as the betrayed partner, you have to commit to forgiveness. So you can't say, I forgive you today, and then tomorrow throw everything back in their face. You have to commit to it, meaning that you're going to make that daily decision. Forgiveness is a decision you're going to make every day. When the pain arises, you're going to say, I have made a choice. I have decided not to put this person to this thing they've done, and I'm going to let it go. So it's going to be short. So you have to face your feelings. Trust the process. It's not going to happen overnight, but it will take time, but it will happen, especially if the other person is working on truth, trusty time, and
truth.
See, I'm spying notes. And all the other things we talked about. If the person is making the effort, you also need to be committed to making the effort. I think it starts with a decision. We have to decide that we want to get back to the way things were. So having those conversations, making the decision to forgive, and then facing your feelings. Sometimes you may need to even do something as drastic as, no, I'm not going to give away my coaching tips, but there's something, some certain exercises you may need to do that will help you release resentment, because you will need to deal with resentment. Now, for when it comes to marriage and where trust is broken, one of the things I've come to realize is the fact that some things that happen, that the trigger is actually your partner. So let me give an example for it. Let me use infidelity. So if your partner cheated on you and you found, now it's not just that if you see the person he cheated, you see something lying around that it will trigger you. Just seeing your partner itself can be a trigger to the fact that I put my life in your hands. I trusted you. I gave you everything. I did everything I could, and you still do me. So the pain will be there. So you have to wake up every day and open up the feelings, like open up the feelings of resentment and analyze them. Why do I swear? What can I do about it? Do I need to step back a bit? Do I need to pray about it? So things like that. Another thing that I find, especially with Christians who are dealing with betrayal, is the fact that some of that resentment is also towards God, especially for Christians, because they tend to feel, why did you happen? Mm. You're supposed to be my God. You're supposed to, I put my confidence in you. You know, I'd be like, you're going to watch over us, watch over our finances, watch over my husband, make sure he doesn't mess up this thing, or watch your wife and make sure she doesn't destroy what we have. And you know, like, let this happen. So sometimes people have that that anger towards God. And so I think the first thing would be that you will need to deal with, you will need to find a place of rest and security in the fact that God is for and that he cares about you. So one of the things you must constantly do, David said, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to that is higher than I. So when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the God that is bigger than me. Because he's the only one that actually takes the pain away. One of the things I've learned also in coaching is the fact that the person who caused you can necessarily heal the pain. So a lot of times people think, oh, he messed this up, fix it. Yeah, he will try to fix it, but the pain won't go away because he's the cause of the pain. The only way to get the pain is him to go away, and it's not going to go away, so it's going to be there. So even though you have that overwhelming feeling of pain, grief, you need to rest in the fact that God loves you and God still cares about you and God will heal your pain. Also, you will feel an overwhelming sense of suspicion. Do not succumb to the need to always become investigator, an FBI agent. You know, yeah, trying to look through everything. Accountability measures must be put in place. However, you must work towards checking those things because of accountability, not because of suspicion. So they are two different things. Don't always, at the conversation, at the slightest, he wants to go out, your heart is cutting, or he just took the pure fact, everything in you is already feeling like, oh, there's a problem. He might just be taking the seat in your back, you know. But if suspicion is there, it kind of clouds everything. So someone who already has some emotional pain and all of that, to you, you may seem like you're chasing your husband and looking, or your spouse, you're chasing your spouse and checking banks every time, but at the end of the day, those things they only cause more harm than good. So you're going to, it doesn't necessarily strengthen your relationship, it actually weakens it. So your partner's every move will not necessarily help. It will keep you in your fear and then suspicion, which is very bad for you. So I would say the most important thing for me is that you learn to trust the only person that you can, which is God. Trust God to make sure that this kind of things don't happen again. You put accountability measures in place. And then hopefully there's someone who can oversee all of this. It gets a bit too much. I don't think, especially for infidelity, I would say get a coach to help you, get professional help. Don't think it's going to go away. Don't think, I will get strong again, get back to being. No, you need some form of professional help to overcome it. I mean, years ago, I'd probably be of the school of thought, pray now and move on. But I've learned that it doesn't work that way. You know, people's emotions. So everything is affected, their body, spirit, their soul. So it takes a lot to help heal it and put it all back together. So.
We need to let you know ahead too that prayer is very important. Prayer is very important. People underestimate the power of prayer. Like I said, somebody being caught will mean their rights change. So in all this whole journey, please call on God to help. He has a way of reaching your partner the way nobody else can, the way counseling can. I'm a counselor, but there's sometimes that I just see that this guy is not, or this girl is not ready to, I think we're saying that God needs to open their heart first. So you must pray. You must pray and hold your partner accountable. Yeah. Some people are the ones that let their partners get away with certain things because they don't just make it, it's small, don't make it a big
deal. Or they don't want trouble.
Yes, they don't, but that's trouble.
Yeah.
Well, you're trying to, that's still trouble because that person will get the confidence to go and do more. You need to let them know that, hey, we're not going to have this. This can happen in our home. And you stand your ground. To hold them accountable, let them know that what they did is wrong, that you need them to change. You know, don't make light of what you should not make light of. You don't make light of. I know women are generally like that. They don't want to just want peace, but you know, that's not peace. You're not going to get peace that way. You know, so pray. And if you're not married yet or in a relationship, it's a good junction for you to think twice about going ahead. What happens to a lot of people?
Think twice, okay.
You know, perhaps a lot of people is like signs.
It's that can't shout to especially accounts. Okay, if you can.
Yeah, because that's what I really advise, except in a case where the person can show themselves that they'll be willing to submit to T and do every other thing they need to do to really show change. But if it's a serious case, or if it's something that can be repaired, let them prove themselves before you go ahead. Because many people that are in marriage now go through either financial betrayal or sexual betrayal or all that. The signs were there. The signs were there even before the marriage, but they felt they could handle it. And we generally encourage couples, you know, that's the reason why premarital sex is bad. Anybody you are cheating with when you are single, both of you will still likely cheat in marriage. It's the same thing. You know, because some people, I don't know why the whole world thinks fornication is okay, but they think adultery is bad. And I'm just wondering, how are you coming up with this thing? They are the same thing. You are taking basically what is not yours. It's the same thing. You are doing one before marriage. You don't have somebody. It's just the same thing. Taking what is not yours. So the whole world thinks fornication is okay, but they think adultery is bad. And I'm saying, how do you can say that? Same thing. They're just taking what is not yours. You know, so those are a few things we have. We would like to take questions so that we can speak specifically into your case. So please quickly write your questions. We have just like, you know, so minutes to go, or even 10, depending. Tomorrow is church, so we're just doing the shop. So please tell us. Send your questions. Let's do this. Send your questions. We'll speak specifically to your situation and give you. Yes, we have some questions. Yes.
See, Pastor, can someone accept an ex back to you after 2 years?
It depends on why they left and how they left. All right, so I can know that for sure. If everything was, you know, why and how they left is the main issue. Why and how they, because sometimes why and how they left is a pointer to what they were also still doing in the future. You know, if they left because they saw a richer, let's give an example. The girl sees a richer man and leaves you. So what are the, so she's back now because the man didn't marry her or the man dumped her. So what are the chances that now that you get married, you come back, she will meet somebody richer again? So it's a matter of how and why they left. I can't answer beyond that if we don't have more information yet.
How do you go about rebuilding trust with a partner who continuously breaks your heart, your trust?
Yeah, that's important. What do you do? Person continuously breaks your trust.
There's one overseeing this whole, the whole process. I don't think it's something that you can on your own. So it probably has to be someone he's accountable to that can help.
Yeah, there are a few options. Well, pray. If the person is not willing, you can pray. Secondly, you can report him to somebody around you that he respects, that he will listen to. If both of you attend church, your pastor, mentor, father figure, things like that. Number three is let there be a standstill, peaceful protest. Yeah, the marriage is
back your load and go.
You might not go, you might be in the same house, but he knows he's not married.
Oh. How does that work?
Oh, she knows. Oh, how does that work? Yeah, you declare war. You let him know that, hey, this thing is serious and I need us to address it. That is done. You know, please, you cannot carry on any conversation with me. You cannot. We need to sort this out. We're not moving past this. Because sometimes when you cover these things, it just empowers the person to go and do more. All right, but please take notes. I mentioned this as a last option. I've given you two other options before this one. You can either pray patiently for the person to change. That usually brings results. This means you pray and you keep loving the person. All right? There are scriptural grounds for this. You see this in 1 Peter 3. All right? That if your husband is not believing that you keep doing the right thing, by your own behavior, you can change as well. They also mentioned the wife. The wife is the one not doing the word. They say, you, husband, treat her according to knowledge. So have a spouse that drops some, and you're married though. Not relationship, marriage. You can pray and love them. Just keep doing your own part of the arrangement. Keep providing love. The case where they're really putting you, like I said, it's really bad, report them to a higher authority that can speak to them. But if those things have failed, you know, you have no choice. Because what happens is that you can, some people can put themselves in danger, you know, and their life is at risk. So you might need to stand off or stand still or whatever. And let them know that, hey, I'm not going to continue to take this. It's not going to happen. Yeah. Some people will change when you stand up to them, but most time people just say they won't please. They just continue to allow things to happen. You can let them know that, hey, you know, it's not going to work. Yeah. All right.
Okay. Thank you, sir. I was once asked by my parents, I also love God, but when I was 7, my father left to go to work in the States and returned to India. They are living together now, but are still adjusting, and he was not faithful when he was away. I'm an adult now, believing God for marriage, but I have failed to fully trust anyone I have met. I am suspicious, always waiting to be failed. I want a God-fearing man, but if my dad, a man of God, could leave and change my heart to trust that it won't happen to me.
In such a case, you need to process what has happened to you. You need some kind of healing. You are, you know, you are carrying the situation with your parents into your own life, and that's kind of normal, but you need to and get healed from it. Put your trust in God concerning your marriage. Start building an image of marriage based on God's word, based on God's design. Human beings generally, okay, human beings generally feel, and for most of us as human beings, we try to build our lives on other people. That, oh, I know this couple, I know this person, or if this person can die in an accident, they can die in an accident. No, that's not true. That's not true. You know, you say, what does God say? If this marriage can fail, then everybody's marriage can fail. No, that's not true. What does God say? So you need to discuss from just the image of marriage you have from your parents and start to build an image of marriage from the word of God. And also look for other godly couples around you, you know, that you can look at as an encouragement. But the God's word, that's the best encouragement you can have. And process the pain. Separate, you know, what happened in your marriage from reality, from your own reality.
Yeah.
You know. So you need to process that and get healed. The real point you raised, many people have a tendency to, so, and you stop dwelling on it in your mind. Your mind doesn't process all the words in a sentence. It just picks the object, the main object. Again, nobody can be trusted. That's what your mind will pick. All right. And it will reproduce that same thing. Trust a man or a marriage like that. Okay. Yeah. So it's also something you can deal with this point. All right.
The problem I have is anger. My woman was at school. We parted ways after 5 years together. She came and met me abroad. That's how we planned on it. We keep on breaking up and meeting. What should I do?
My woman, as in, they are not married.
To be honest, in that case, you need a bit more counseling. We need more details. It's a bit too surface for us to comment. We don't know if you're married or you're single. We don't know why you are
angry. We don't even know why you're breaking up.
Why you're fighting. Yeah. Who is beating who? Who wins when you fight? You know, we don't know all those details.
Yeah.
We don't know the details. That's what I'm saying. You need professional help. From what you're telling me, there's a lot of drama going on.
Yeah.
So you need more counseling, you know. And guys, don't be afraid to book counseling sessions with good counselors or good therapists. It's a good thing, it's not a bad thing. All right, you need it. All right, next question.
Okay. How do you deal with a partner addicted to cheating, thereby breaking trust completely?
Yeah, we've answered that. We've kind of answered that. They are willing to get the, you know, the issue is whether they are willing to get help. You want to say that?
No. I'm just saying there's really nothing anybody can do, you know, and you're already in danger. So
yes,
danger of sexual
STDs, sexual transmitted diseases.
Yeah, danger of somebody else coming to threaten you out.
Yes,
and when these guests are buying special package, you know, key before your time, you know. So there's just a drama that. This guy's not willing to change. I don't know how. And the truth is, the Bible says you can walk away.
Yes,
so,
in the case of infidelity, the truth is that a lot of women either are not emotionally ready to walk away, or financially.
Financially is the real problem.
No, some are emotional. Some might survive financially, but they don't want to be alone. So a lot of people see these things when they even marry. They see the signs. They see it now. They just don't want to. So they say they always think. Some women I cancel always say things like, you know, they'd rather, you know, have somebody else, let them manage this one, they already know, blah, blah, blah. But they're not ready to do the emotional work of it all over. So the ball is in your court, really. Depends on what you want to do. You know, if he's ready to get help, good. If he's not ready to get help, you're already in danger. So I don't know why you're still there and what you want to do. You know, for the love of him and pray. A lot of people live sad lives because they don't want people to think that they're married. But what are some things I see? You're suffering. You're literally, you know, living with things you can't really call it marriage. You even need help yourself. You need to even book a counseling session. Let's not talk with you and know how you're doing.
And why you don't love yourself.
Yes, why you don't love yourself enough to stay in that situation. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. I am going out with someone, but I've had a couple of encounters with my ex. I already told the present guy, but I didn't give him details of your comments. Am I being secretive?
Sorry, you're being out on one person, but you're having sexual relations with your ex.
I've already told the present guy, but I did not give him details. systems or their currencies? Am I being secretive?
Oh, yes, secretive. And the reason why it's still ongoing is that you've not come out with the truth. If you were in the seminar with the truth, it's the first step. Once something is hidden, it will continue to grow. That's how it works. You need to come out with the truth and say, look, the part of the truth there is to know you have an issue. Like I said, every time somebody's cheating, there's a reason why you're acting the way you're acting. Why are you going back to your ex to have sexual relations? Something is happening in your life that should be addressed. Just saying I did it is not even enough. When I mean truth, part of it is that we need to get to the reason why. You know, are you a sexual addict? Do you have issues with your self-esteem? Do you have soul ties with this guy? We need to get to the root of the matter to also help you. But 100% accountability. In some cases like this, that you're not even married, you don't even have to be in a relationship because you are just going to hurt people. You know, so you need to get help immediately. And you need to come out with the truth to help you and your partner, all right?
Handle arguments. I argue a lot with my partner, though we are not married yet.
The question is, why are you arguing? What's it about? Is it issues or is it a behavioral problem? Is it a character issue? If you guys are fighting all the time, get counsel. Find someone you can talk to.
Yeah, because there's a reason you're arguing.
Mm-hmm.
You guys might not agree on basic things. You might not think you might not align. You know, constantly arguing is a red flag, really, to be honest with you. If you are in a relationship now and you're arguing this much, you know, it's going to likely get worse. So by that time, you're stuck. So please get counsel and let's even know why are you arguing all the time. Because you can start drifting apart when you get married, and that will become a problem. Or it can lead to physical violence when you start arguing and arguing. There's a reason you're arguing. Your thinking is not aligning. In a normal relationship, people can have disagreements, but if you're arguing all the time, that's a red flag, right? Something is wrong somewhere.
I'm engaged to a man and he's aware, but we couldn't have our wedding done before we traveled out of the country for greener pasture and we had a child together. But the family doesn't call to check on me or the child, but he wants me to be calling his family object to me because I feel I'm putting myself on them and I'm not in liability as I have a good paying job. So what do I do about the family, and do you think it is wise for me to wait for this guy?
Okay. You obviously have not been following my teachings before. You need to first go and subscribe to my channel, binge on everything you can find, go to my website, buy all the messages. Then even the one I did for single ladies, there's one part I said, whose daughter are you? You know, whose daughter are you? Go and watch the messages. It's titled Be Ready to Marry, something like, watch it today. Whose daughter are you? This question you said showed you are not in touch. Where are your parents? Where are your physical parents? Where are your parents? You know, you are left alone and these people are harassing you. Where are your parents? You are the person you are married. You're not the one chasing people. Just because you have a child, someone doesn't even make you an orphan. So who parents? Spiritually, physically, biologically, who are you? Go and meet your parents. And if you don't have parents, sign in. We have an adoption process now. I'm joking, but on a serious note, you need parents. In this case, you're never the one supposed to be fighting for yourself. You fighting for yourself makes you look desperate, like you're thinking. You're correct. Your parents will say, hey, let us know. Are you guys going to marry my daughter? These are the terms. If you're not married, be going. You know, but except cheap. It gets worse. That's what you need to know. Once you think, if I compromise, if I kneel down, they will like make you lie down. They will make you start rolling. Human beings are not like that. Human beings never give anything value by themselves. Not anywhere in the market where you say something is 10,000, the person buys and say, let me pay you 12,000. I've never seen it before. What I do is when you say something is 10,000, say, for where? I'll give you 2,000. They bring your value down. That's what people do. So, my dear, who are your parents? Go and watch my message I told you, project for single ladies last week or 2 weeks ago. Go watch it. And then tell your parents, they should know what to do. They'll protect you. Either your spiritual parents or your biological parents.
I was in a relationship with someone who did something to me. I tried to talk about it, but it was obvious to me that I'm ready to admit it was at fault. I decided to move on, but discovered that resentment had started to grow in my heart and the way I approached him, which wasn't healthy. I further tried to discuss the issue so that the truth would reveal so we could see how things could return to normal. But he never created time to speak to continue to complain about my behavior until he finally left me. The issues remain unaddressed and the relationship is over. I am still dealing with the pain. What do I do?
Okay. He said they have resentment issues.
Her partner did something to have in the relationship, and then she tried to approach him about it, but he refused to admit it was her fault.
Mm-hmm.
And then she decided to move on, you let it go, but she realized that he was going.
That's what I don't understand. She said she decided to move on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're still having this conversation.
Yeah. That's what she's saying, that resentment began to grow.
She
started showing the way she appeared. As she approached me again, we've moved on. You see what I said?
Okay, go ahead. Then what?
And then she tried to talk about it again. So I didn't talk about the material. And then we didn't want to create time.
She's looking for closure.
But I told you that women are most not emotionally ready. You see that it's not financial. Most of them are not emotionally ready to leave a relationship that's not working. I know most women, they create in their mind, even they don't know it's a bad relationship. Is better than no relationship. Most of them have, separation anxiety. They'd rather stay in something bad. I know that. I've done this for a while. Women will stay in something bad any day, any time, over being alone. They will choose bad relationship over being alone all the time. So that's what's happening here. She doesn't this thing. They use the excuse of looking for closure. For the person asking, video coming up on YouTube, title 7 mistakes people make after a breakup. So you need to watch that video. I address this thing there. There's nothing like closure. You close it by yourself.
Move on. You say you moved on, she's not happy for her.
Yeah, it's not possible.
Somebody that does not hear words, he does not agree.
Yeah.
Then he now.
You want to change him. So you can book a counseling session, let somebody to you, allow you events, get to buy it. You need to go through your healing process. Then you can, even just get my message healed before you deal. You can get my message healed before you deal. We've had people who can do. Somebody like you need that one. It's messages on breakup, on how to deal with breakup, so that you will just get over it. Then learn. You need to learn about the future, too, so that you don't repeat this whole drama. There's some YouTube questions, yeah?
What do you do when both partners have broken trust in long-distance relationship?
Both partners have broken trust. Yeah, they go to the house. So what do you do anyway? See, the truth is that long-distance relationship is not for boys, it's for men. Personally, I'm not a fan of it. If you have to do it, then you must have the chest for it. It's not for anybody. So both of you have broken trust. You guys have nothing. Just you can't build a relationship on without trust at all. So say no. What do you do?
There's nothing left now. Sometimes when it's one person breaking trust, and it's one person is trying to hold it together. Two of us have scattered it.
Yes.
There's nothing left. I think that people just try to complicate their lives.
Yes. I discovered a lot of people don't really like themselves. A lot of people don't like good things, I discovered.
Except both of you have decided that this thing we're doing is bad. We're now committed to, it will take a long process.
Yes, I need both of you to get a
counselor. Both of you need to get a counselor. You can't trust that we just say we'll change. So. It doesn't work that way.
It's a long process. It's hard. It's easier to actually believe in a relationship. Yeah, go ahead.
But marriage can be.
Yes, marriage, you work on it. It's a long work, but you work on it.
Well, this relationship is messy. Okay. I don't know if you have that power. Because the process of healing, remembering the things,
both of you, sir.
Drama
you're healing as the betrayer and the betrayer.
No, it's too much.
It's a lot of work. The cancer doesn't have to charge you plenty.
If it's a relationship,
you want to ask a question?
Yes,
okay, yes, go ahead.
My wife always leaves the bedroom each time there's an issue between us. She sleeps in the living room.
Yes.
What do I do to handle it? Each time I beg her and I don't want to beg her again? So I say, what will he do to handle it? Because everything's out.
Yeah.
And I just want to beg her again.
Okay. There's a bigger problem than her leaving the room. The problem is not her leaving the room. Leaving the room is just an example of the lack of intimacy and lack of friendship and lack of closeness.
And lack of respect.
Lack of respect that you both are sharing with each other. So we need to address what the real issue is. Why are you not close? Why does she or you know, have that I'm living, I'm going out mentality, you know. So something's absolutely you know, wrong already. That makes, you know, we're just hearing your own side of the story. We're not hearing her own side of the story.
But you know, plus there are some times to have seen these things in their parents. Like when you're fighting,
just
enter their room, those kind of things. Those things are not they're not the right way to deal, but they don't know any other way.
And
it's just also the issue. She needs to know that that's not, you have to tell her, I'm having none of that, you move out again, I'm not going to start you again. And maybe she will not just.
We also think counseling might help to hear her side of the story and why she does.
Why she,
like I said earlier on today, there's always a reason why people act the way they do. Something is forming it, and you can't really change it until you know what is informing it and start helping them to, you know, change it. All right, we can take 5 more questions. Oh, close. 5 more. Let's do more. Church.
My friend's wife left him for a 21-year-old boy.
Wow.
They have 2 kids together. Now she wants to come back because she got caught. Though she isn't sorry, what can he do?
Nothing. We've addressed that today. If somebody's not sorry and all that, then I don't know what.
No, but he wants to take her back.
He wants to take her back. From where is asking?
He's not him. He's asking. If he wants to take her back.
So he still loves her.
And there's nothing you can do, guy. You're on the outside. Don't be brave.
It depends now. If he wants to, it's risky because she's not changed.
But it's not the guy, it's a friend.
Is a friend asking for his friend?
That what should his friend do? His friend, we're advising, not the person asking, we're advising your friend already. You go and tell him now. I mean, tell him now. You know, he has to do the things right. If he's just going to accept that because he's saying that's fine too, it's not as if it's impossible. You know, maybe he wants to love her into changing.
Yeah.
It's an option, it's a thing. It's actually a thing. You know, so if you want her to do it, or not that tomorrow, you kill her because she calls the boy again or something. Because we have seen people murder because of that, they're jealous. You know, so if you know you're ready to do it, some people can do it. Some people can love somebody else.
Yeah, that's how I mean.
Something like that. So their own love is enough for the whole family. They don't need your own love. So.
But isn't that how God loves us?
Yes, no, that's God. No, that's God. I worship Him. The day we can love, the day we can do what you can do. He's Almighty God. That's why we're worshiping Him. He's in a class of all by Himself. So if you know you can do it, it's not impossible. It's really an option. It's just that don't come and complain. You know, stay there and get it right. It's an option. It's an option.
But they should still get counseling. I should just take about my last. Get counseling to get some assurance with a third party, not just with love eyes.
Yeah, right now he might just be lonely or dealing with the jamming, the abandonment, and all those things. And just say, I want to have a God. Realistically, he might not be able to flow. Yes.
Counseling.
See, in this life, it's always good to go talking with somebody. It makes a difference when somebody's definitely swell here and it's a professionally trained person that knows how to, you know, talk when you're going through it. It helps. Yeah, 4 more questions.
What if your partner, that someone you're trying to get married to, says that you will never know what is in the account? Is this a red flag?
Ah, this is where they are cutting red flag
there's
from.
There's no more flag.
This is the you know that cloth in the market where they roll out red. This is where they are sharing red flags. It's here they are sharing flags. But the rest of the people, this is where they are manufacturing the cloth.
Why? Well, why? You see, after thing was sometimes, I know that it's wrong, it's a serious red flag. But sometimes too, you need to check. Maybe the girl's mother gave her dad all the money and the man misused them and the girl swore as a small girl.
That's the guy, the guy that not showing the
girl.
Okay. And we don't know who is doing that. Maybe the partner.
Just
giving an example. Yes, the partner hiding money. Their parents had the bad. Yeah, there's always, like we said, there's always a reason.
You never know. And the partner said, read the question.
If your partner also, someone you plan to get married to say that you will never know how much is in their account.
Okay,
so.
Yeah, so there might be a million reasons why this happens. So it's fine.
So there's serious trust issues. Person ready to lie to you, but not their money.
Yeah, money is not the real issue here. It's the trust. Yes. There are deeper issues than the money.
So. Don't go ahead because this means that these things will generate usually they're uncomfortable, they don't trust you, they don't trust people or something, or they like money too much. Or,
it's probably just, it might be something has happened in the family.
Yeah, so they need to get help. It is a red flag. It's not something you want.
It's a major red flag. Though.
Yeah, it's not something
because
you want.
Because in marriage, it's our money.
It's our money. It's our
money. As we're spending money, we have bills. Mm. You know everything, I'll call you. Sometimes I'll do it.
Trust is beautiful in the marriage. I'm telling you. I don't know how people will survive without trust. Trust is so big. You sleep with your two eyes. You know, I don't even see my eyes. I don't see anything. I've never seen my token since the first day they created it. I've never even seen it. I don't get any alert on my account. I trust this girl. And you know, if there's anybody in this life that should eat my money, she permitted. If somebody wants to steal my money, let her be my federal government.
Try.
Steal my money. Sorry. Oh my God! Don't worry.
How do you feel with a situation your husband has told you repeatedly never to involve yourself in anything that concerns his family? He prefers to be on his own rather than talk.
So many issues. These things are too, we can't know. You have not told us
everything.
Yes, and I can't just say.
Yeah, on the surface, we can't answer that question on the surface because if you have more things.
Something should have happened now. You won't just wake up and say. And if he just wakes up, no. There must have been something. Maybe there's quarrel with the family or the family members have said something. You know.
The baseline is that you guys are not working together as one.
But there are issues. Things that are a result of things that happen.
Yeah, going on.
So you probably need counseling.
Just to be honest with you, it's sad. What a lot of people have really is not. It's not even marriage. That's the truth. You know, that kind of help singles for the enter. Sometimes it seems like we're just shouting, but this is what we see. What a lot of people are going through is not. And that's why this I put. I'm not saying marriage is not good because what they have is not even marriage now. You know, they don't even talk. No intimacy. No talk. No friendship. No nothing. Just. Two people just doing it, just like it's an official assignment. As well. Yes.
I have a friend. He obviously likes me. He has introduced me to almost all the work he does because we work in the same field. He has shown me that he is interested in me with his moves, but he hasn't said it with his mouth, which I want him to. What do I do now? Because recently he's not even communicating with me like before.
Go and watch my video, 7 Mistakes Single Ladies Make. I suspect you've already jumped inside the marriage when the relationship has not started. You have practiced your signature with his last name. Big wedding gown and the destination. I'm prophesying, now this is me in the spirit. Spirit of suspicion. Why
then?
See, if a guy is doing that to you, cut down communication 100%. Move on quickly. Let him chase you if he's going to chase you.
He has not said anything. He has not said anything.
Yes. Men are not confused. When they see what they do want, it's obvious to them. So if he's not coming clean, he doesn't want. The one over invested in it. And I suspect you've already been yourself too available. He's even bored and tired, you know. And that's why in that 7 Mistakes Singleism, I said it there. Don't be too like that. The way life works, every action has a reaction. I mean, that's how they say it. If you chase somebody, something like that. If you chase somebody, they run. If you leave somebody, they come. That's how it works. So don't be too when it's in their face. They will not be missing. You know, instead of missing your presence, do you understand? I did the whole thing. Go and get this thing. You know, so don't be too much. That's how life works. People don't value too much availability. There's nothing valuable that is too available. Nothing. It has value. It's scarce. That's what it's about. The day you become, if diamond becomes like sand, won't buy it again. Tim tries. If they burn diamond well, it should become as available as gravel. It will see its value drop. It used to be expensive. You say, ooh. You are now grabbing. And that's why those sell diamonds, they make it scarce. Even when they get they mine plenty, they don't release plenty. They need the value to stay. They still release it gradually. Because that's where the thing is, it's in the scarcity. So So move on. If I move on like you did, even when he applies, you don't answer in 2 days. Let him chase you. That's how life works. When you're too available, he's bored, he's tired, he doesn't see any value. Guys are like that, they can get bored easily. Still when he has options. So don't do that to yourself, okay? Don't jump in, don't dream. It's not even, he has not said anything. Move on. Don't be available.
Okay, last question.
Do you have any other questions on YouTube? Do your own. Yeah, go ahead.
Good evening, sir.
Yep. Yep.
I met a girl today. We became friends, and gradually we started having feelings for each other.
Ooh.
Whereby I came in love.
Congratulations.
The issue behind the relationship is that she's the only daughter of her parents. She's from the eastern part of the country. According to
that's her, go ahead.
Her parents said she must marry someone from the east.
Uh-huh.
That the relationship was well, because I hail from a Akwa Ibom
state. Okay.
But I hail from you.
No, that's not the east.
No, it's not of her, and they are compatible with each other.
Okay.
Like
wow. Are you rich? Because I'm from the east. If you are not east biologically, you must be from the east financially.
Very good. I think you should say good.
Because Job was the richest man in the East. Job in the Bible. If you are not from the East, physically or biologically, you must be from the East.
This is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm going to do.
Such a serious man. No, my brother, that's it. Very much. Then, the other thing, you know, you guys should be sure of what you want to do. You know, does she really love you that much? Love, see, what I discovered, love for a doing relationship out of convenience. You know, you're just somebody. That I love you. I love marriage. So anybody, I can marry anybody. If you're going to be sure of each other that this is it, not just I want to marry, this is the person. Then there's a process. Get my book or message to I love you, but my parents say no. So you guys can start working on it. Start working the ground now. With the parents, start looking for uncles, his uncle, her uncles and aunties that have married as well. Looking for the ones who are married from the same tribe and it didn't work. You know, you have to take many campaign, you know, gradually, and campaign managers and supporters to work the you know, and pursue the case. But it's a long journey. I know how people from the East can be only daughters. They can be very, you know, somehow about it. You know, so yeah. But be rich out of it. I can tell you that for free. Yes.
My husband and I were in a distant relationship before marriage.
Wow.
Because he's been abroad.
Mm.
He just recently got married before the lockdown in Yamba. Wow. I got close to this guy who is my neighbor.
Who's? Wow. Sorry, go ahead.
Finish first.
I got close to this guy who is my neighbor because I was always at home during the 4 months before I wasn't going to work anymore.
Yeah.
I started developing feelings for him and likewise
for me.
We got emotionally involved with each other and started romancing each other.
Wow.
This happened a couple of times.
Wow.
I cried alone in my room afterwards with regret and guilt, but I couldn't stop myself. Until I was old enough to tell my husband about him. Although he said that forgiving me and that we shouldn't talk about the kid, but the guilt keeps hurting me. I never felt being in this kind of situation. I don't know if this feeling is because my husband just easily forgave me and didn't want to talk about it anymore, or as I was expecting a certain kind of action. She wants to know what she's feeling about that.
Okay.
I don't have an answer because I don't even know what. Yes, forgiving yourself because I think there's guilt, but also sometimes Satan just wants to destroy your life. Satan can never be happy that you get off so easily. And I think human beings, we like to pay for our sins.
Mm-hmm.
If he had abused you,
yeah,
he had family, then they call you, they did missing, put you in the middle, you feel like you have paid for your sins.
Mm-hmm.
I bet that you're probably melancholic in nature, so you feel self-righteous.
Mm-hmm.
You are one of those people that can never do it. So, I mean, all those things that will disturb you, receive forgiveness and be going. That's all. And then put things in place. Now that you have seen that you are not Susan. That the way they touch other women before, they can touch you before, you arrange yourself not be talking to labor. You are a married woman. When you are a married woman, the Bible says, I don't even know if you are making your vows. Shebi is forsaking everybody. You forsake all others, face your front.
Yeah.
Some things is your. I don't know. You, there are some things you don't do.
Yeah,
yeah, married woman. You are married woman means that you cover you. You
yeah, boundaries, everything. Get some accountability.
You shall
do something.
Do yourself well. Okay, yes. Put yourself together. Just, if you're a married woman, they don't crack joke and you laugh.
Yeah,
it's not your business. It's wrong.
Like,
the single man is cracking joke. You squeeze even if the laughter is killing you. It's like you want to, when you get home, you laugh it. You can't be.
Like
my neighbor came to this. How's your neighbor just being married woman?
Mm-hmm.
I don't have power.
But if you need somebody to insult you and abuse you so that you feel better, it can be arranged.
That's okay. Good night, everybody.
Thank you. People that can help us.
Thank you.
To make you feel better.
That's okay.
I'm joking. All right. I'm joking. I'm just having fun.
I don't want to go because you're too early. All
right. One more question. I'll go.
No, but seriously, that girl, you need to forgive yourself, move on. Pray about God, give you the grace to forgive yourself. And there's serious boundaries. You're a married woman.
Yeah.
You need to sing because your husband left immediately after. Maybe that's why he didn't sing. You're married. Married means you are not free. Means you belong to somebody. So another man can't be talking to you.
Yeah. You need to deal with that guilt. So that you don't just be stuck there. You know, forgive yourself and believe God, because he has forgiven you, then you know you can't be holding. Yeah, your husband to say it. So come on, I'll do yourself. Last question.
What can you do to a lady caught chatting with her ex and calling him the pet name she used to call him, call themselves while they were dating?
Is she married or single?
I think they're married and she's begging to come back.
It's extended. People just minimize it, but it's a big thing.
Now, what fire would they catch first?
Whatever you mean that you can be friends with your ex, I tell them that my brother.
Don't befriend them.
You don't know
what's going on. Both and Yam know they befriend.
Ex is
kind of.
What's the problem? Say you want to befriend. I agree with you.
No, just let's move on and stop lying to us. People don't like truth. That's the problem.
Mm.
How do you. Something that. Somebody that knows how to press your button, know what to say to you, love. They know what to. You say, we can just be friends. I'll just pick his call and just talk to him. Before you finish picking his call, you've had phone sex.
Yeah.
You give it yourself.
Mm.
That's okay, let's see.
This last question. What should you in this case, if you guys are married, you need to get counseling now because you know you need to bring this issue out and address it. You know, do some of the things about rebuilding trust. Are they ready to change? Are they ready not to ever have contact with these people? Are they ready to be ready to be transparent so that you can always see what she's chatting on her phone? You know, they do what is necessary. You know, what I discovered a lot of people that they're not ready to change. They're sorry for being caught. They're not sorry for being, you know, they're not ready to really change. And one of the things we get people to do when they want to do infidelity recovery is make them promise and commit to, you know, really, really, really changing. Because what is the requirement sometimes might be hard. I really not to ever talk to these people again, to block their numbers forever. You know, think that. So get counseling. In this case, let's see whether she's ready to really change before you take that video and all that. So, hope this was helpful, Jack. We just want to have fun today and just chat with you guys. Hope it was worth it. For those of you that need proper infidelity recovery counseling, please reach out to us. We have coaches that would run with you to do that properly. For those of you here that are even, you have passion for it and you want to be a certified counselor one of these days, we're going to launch our training soon. So, you could have. We need more people speaking wisdom and speaking counsel to this generation. So, if you're like that, you have just have an interest or passion relationship to who counsel with you. All right. Thank you, guys. We love you. And don't forget our website www.ldmwithpk. Any books, courses, audios. We also have a new book, a book I did for my wife celebrate our 15th year wedding anniversary. It's titled Love to Mildred. It's very cool. Never before seen pictures, never before seen stories. So you like it. You pre-order it for your love gift. It comes out on our birthday. You pre-order it for your gift and you will like it. So if you love her, if you love us, you know that and be a blessing. The link is in my bio on Instagram, okay? Link is in my bio. Then, what else do we have to say? YouTube channel, if you have not subscribed to my YouTube channel or hi YouTube channel, go subscribe, you know. And then we have a WhatsApp community where we send out things. Like this week, we sent them a free message, free audio message. So if you want to join the WhatsApp community, please, the number is 08077144 12. All right. You join the free WhatsApp community, we send 08077744 1.